Welcome to the Golf Better Podcast. I'm your host, Derek Dominski. This episode of the Golf Better Podcast is brought to you by MySecretsToSpinningIt.com. This 90-minute video will teach you everything you need to know about putting maximum backspin on the golf ball around the greens. It'll show you step-by-step how to bring this spin into your own game. The Golf Better Podcast is also sponsored by TheStackSystem.com. Again, if you guys haven't seen this, The Stack, it's mostly known for their swing training. They have some putting and some other things in the works as well. But for their speed training, this is the speed system that Matt Fitzpatrick used to absolutely gain massive club head speed, win the U.S. Open. And man, when I was at the Shriners, the only speed system that the players were using was the Stack. They were all using it. They know that speed, club head speed matters in this game. So go to TheStackSystem.com and get your stack today. All right, so I'm back in Tucson, man. What a whirlwind of a week. I'll tell you guys right now, greatest week of my life. Such a blast. We're going to go through the week, make it a recap, go through when we got in, kind of bring you through the week, how I was feeling, how I played, and all of that. But it was the greatest week of all time. Man, what an absolute treat to live this dream come true. Let's dive in. It. So I'm going to talk a little bit about a few things I did in preparation. When I qualified, again, out in Vegas, it was about 2 months ago. Again, this kind of came out of nowhere, right? Not playing great golf necessarily. And then even after that event, played so-so. So again, that swing feel, as I'm sure many of you know, swing feelings can come and go. Unfortunately, they don't always last. I'm so glad it happened kind of when it did. But the cool thing is, So I had this week blocked off, which is awesome. Again, when I won that event, I was booked, my lessons were booked up until this time that I was going to go back home, usually go back home and see the family. But it was blocked off perfectly, so I had this time blocked off. I had to reschedule a few things as we're going to go a little bit early and do some things up at Ping. So I did have to rebook some of those lessons, but so I had a good opportunity to practice some stuff at home. You know, I didn't have a ton of time to grind on the range, which is fine. I don't usually do that necessarily anyways. But I worked on some things at home, and what ended up happening in the event, unfortunately, they didn't quite take, so I had to kind of make some adjustments. But the schedule going up to there, again, everything was fine. I had some opportunities to play. I still had some events where I can kind of work on some things, kind of get some things figured out, which I did feel like happened. One thing I did need to do, again, I've been with Mizuno. They are the best, absolute best company. But I've got some great friends, and I've really always liked Ping, their company, how they run their business, and all of that. So my good friend Marty Jurtson has helped me out, as well as Ping and all their staff and their researchers. Because for me, when I qualified, I knew I just had to hit the ball higher. I hit it kind of mid-low, and it worked out. It worked out for that situation of playing, but there's been some courses that I've gone to, even when greens get a little bit on the firmer side, I just have a hard time stopping it. So I switched over to Ping. They're absolutely outstanding. Got the 425s. I did play the new G30 driver in 3-wood at the event, which is cool. But really mixed up my clubs, and they went seamlessly in. I got only a couple rounds with them before, but they were so good that I just put them right into play. So some unique things that we did then with the set makeup is go driver, 3-wood, 7-wood, which unfortunately didn't get a hit in the event, but I hit it awesome in some of the practice rounds, 4-hybrid, 5-hybrid, because again, just at 200 yards, I figured I might hit some longer shots. I can't be hitting it so low, and it did help in the event. And then from there, what I tried out, I loved the G425s. They were just the best looking club. They did exactly what I wanted. And then I went to the Glide 4.0 wedges, which when I switched to them, again, my bunker game, just the bounce and what I play the 10S grind. The best bunker clubs I've ever hit. So Ping wedges, again, I firmly believe are the most underrated product in the market for many reasons that you'll see me talk more and more about. But the technology and everything is so outstanding. So I switched over to Ping. They did a fantastic job. I knew I kind of needed something I could get fit into pretty fast. They did an outstanding job with all of that. Not surprised at all. So that was also a big deal going up into the event. So a couple things like that. And then right before we took off, I did a few things up at Ping with some of the research and stuff that we're working on. So we traveled out to Vegas, I want to say on October 1st. Yeah, it was that Saturday. And what was unique is the course had been closed for 6 months. They resurfaced, they re-fairwayed, re-greened. They essentially changed out the grass. So members really couldn't even play, which is kind of unique, right? They opened it up for an event. We talked to the superintendent. He wanted like one or two more weeks out of them. In the practice rounds, they were pretty soft. They started to really firm up, though, and the course got playing very nice. My caddy for the week, Marty Jurtson, again at Ping, got me in contact with a guy named Michael McLaughlin, who is an awesome player, great dude. I talked to him quite a few times, and then it worked out where he would caddy for me. He's a member at the club. He could not have been a better caddy. The guy was absolutely all awesome. So the equipment was good. The caddy's dialed in. We drive out there. We get to the course. I want to say Saturday, we get to our hotel. Sunday, then, you can only walk the course. We kind of got these directions of what we could do. We could only walk the course Sunday, so me and Michael walked the course. I got a good look at it. It's, again, it's pretty much in front of you. It reminds me quite a bit of TPC Scottsdale, actually, so I really like the vibe with it. You could tell the weather was going to be perfect, and the course was in awesome condition, so yay, super sweet. So that Sunday we got in, we walked the course, and then I practiced a little bit around the short game area, hit some spinners, of course. Saw some guys, saw Ricky out there, Gary Woodland, David Lipsky, Kirk Kitayama. So it was cool just practicing with him, right? Kind of catching some of the vibes. So that was super cool. That was Sunday. And then Monday, we got out to the course early, and we played with Trevor Werblow. So he's a Tucson guy who played so awesome on the Korn Ferry Tour, got through, got his card, and he is playing on the PGA Tour. So we got a practice room with him. I know his caddy, Will Christian, as well. So we got out super early Monday because there's going to be a pro-am later in the day. We went out early, just me and him, to hit balls. And again, I knew, unfortunately, that my swing wasn't quite where I wanted it, which, again, is no problem. And all that meant then is that I was like, okay, I just have to shape the ball. I'm going to play through shapes. Again, I do recommend this for students anyways. You need to be able to curve the ball on command so that you can have some predictability. So I just knew my swing wasn't quite on the lines that I wanted. And I knew that I just had to get by and that was going to be okay. So went out and played with Trevor. Hit it pretty good with the clubs. I was kind of in between putters. I had this old Callaway putter that I pulled out of the back of my closet, and I just brought it, and for some reason I just started kind of rolling it well, so that was kind of the gamer for there. But played pretty good with Trevor, ended up playing 18 holes. It was excellent, and then I got a great feel for the course. Went back later that evening as a couple players wanted some short game help, also just to hang around, practice, and all that was super cool. And then a funny story. So I saw Ricky Fowler out there practicing, and I was talking to Erin, my wife. And I said, oh, I see Ricky. I'm going to go practice over by him. And she said, okay. So she heard that. And then I text her that we were going to go have dinner with, it said, it auto-corrected to Nike and his wife. And my wife, Erin, thought it was going to be Ricky Fowler and his wife. So she was super excited, got ready, got all dressed up. And I got back there, and it was Mike, our caddy, and his wife. They're both so fun, so incredible. But it was just funny to see her react. And she wasn't disappointed, but not at all. We had a great time getting some pizza with them, with Michael and Lori. They were fantastic. So that was just a funny story. We ended up then seeing Ricky later on in the week, got a picture, told him about it. He was great. Ricky is, again, I just talked to him a couple times. He was so nice. He's as nice as you think. I'm sure people take advantage of that, but Ricky Fowler is just an absolute great dude. So that was Monday. And then on Tuesday, this was cool. This is where I arranged with Max Homa Again, he's become a good friend as I've helped him in the past. Incredible player. So I got to practice with him and a couple other, his team and some other players. So we practiced on Tuesday, and it's funny because that really prepared me kind of for my nerves. Again, I'm a pretty good friends with him, so I wasn't really nervous, but just like that practice round, not really super nervous on the first tee, but we had a good practice round. He absolutely stripes it. It was so fun to see, man, throughout the week. Mark Blackburn was so nice to me. Such an awesome coach. He had Phil Kenyon with them. Again, everyone is so nice. We had just a great time playing with them. So we just played 9 holes. Then again, went back to the course. Just practice. Again, I'm not a huge like grinder. These guys, man, they absolutely grind out there. And for a lot of them, again, it's their job. So I was having such a blast. But you could tell just kind of the wear and tear of the tour life. It just kind of maybe takes some of the joy out of it, I guess. You can kind of see it as, again, they're battling for their job. I totally understand that. But, again, I had a blast. Went back out there, hit some chips and some putts. Ended up talking to Joe Toulon and Mata, Steve Mata. And I saw a putter I liked. They ended up hooking me up with that, and it worked out really well. So then that was Tuesday. On Wednesday, again, after talking to Max and some other players, they said, you know, just rest up. So we slept in, didn't get a chance. They had a pro-am there, so didn't get a chance to get on the course, which I didn't need to. Again, the course is in front of me. I knew it was going to be on me. So we just practiced, hit some chips, hit some putts. And then Wednesday, you know, got the bag ready, got everything prepared. So we're going in. First tee on Thursday. Let's get to the event. So first tee on Thursday. Again, the people following me, I probably had one of the larger galleries. I want to say we had 20, 25-ish people at times following our group, following me. Again, students came out, family, my mom and dad, my brother, my friend Cole, many others from Minnesota, from Iowa, from students. It was just incredible. So first tee, I got a lot of questions, and again, we'll do a part 2 where I get to some of these answers. But hole one, I wasn't quite as nervous as I thought I'd be, which was interesting. And again, I think a lot of it has to do with, there's a few things. So mentally, I just crushed it. I could not have done better mentally. I couldn't have got really more out of my game. It's just, unfortunately, my game was just how it was, which was fine. But I didn't have my swing necessarily as dialed as I would like. But that's okay. That's just how it is. But also in the past, I've given a lot of clinics to, at times we'll have 40 people in the class. So I'm kind of used to talking and kind of showing and kind of somewhat being a showman, I guess. And then also the people following me, I had a large group following me, and there wasn't like masses of people on the first tee. We were the last group off in the morning wave. So I get to the tee, hit this nice little fade down there, end up making par, which was nervy. Thankfully, I hit it. I was actually closest to the pin. I played with Joseph Bramlett and Thomas Dietrich, who were both great. Bramlett gave me a good read. Dietrich gave me a good read. Because, again, I'm past the pin. They make it look so easy. The pins are spicy. I had to play it probably 3 feet left. It was going down and then breaking right. Ended up tapping it in, but it was nervy putting. The greens, I think, were running at 11.5, which for me, you know, it's a little bit on the faster side. I'm not quite used to it, and these guys just make it look so easy. So nice par there. Hole 2, same thing, nice par there. Hit a nice drive, a little cut 7. Again, these guys are turning. It's a pitch and putt for these guys. So I'm hitting, throughout the week, I hit cut driver. I think I averaged, or, you know, I think it's like 287 distance, which I could have hit it further, but probably less predictable. So I just ended up hitting cut driver. And I had kind of what seemed like a lot of like 7, 8-ish irons. And these guys are just hitting like driver wedges or 3-wood hybrid wedges. So it's a pitch and putt for these guys. So that's why the scores are so low. The weather is perfect. And these guys are absolute golf robots. So a couple cool moments though from the first day. Par 1, par 2. Sick up and down on par 3. It's a converted par 5 to par 4. Leaving in the short bunker. Awesome shot out of there to like tap in, which was so great. Hole 4 is cool. You see kind of Vegas in the background, hit a nice cut. And then it's kind of this front right pin, and I hit this really nice little cut pitching wedge in there. pretty close, and I've got this putt, and everyone's watching, and it's like two cups out left. I'm probably, I don't know, 12 feet or so, and I putt it, and then I walk it in for birdie. And again, if you want to see all this stuff, I've got it posted in my Shriners, I think, stories highlight on my Instagram at Golf Photo Tucson. And I make that putt, and everyone's cheering, and I started to almost get emotional. Like, I was tearing up. And I think it just kind of hit me, like, I'm living my dream on the PGA Tour. I'm playing the PGA Tour. I just made a birdie. I'm one under through four. Again, I don't know how it's going to go, but it was just like, my wife was crying. I saw her. She was bawling a few times. And I was like tearing up. It was like, this is just amazing. So the moment, it just felt like I was in a dream. I'm like, this is too good to be true. Just that moment was so incredible. That putt was just awesome. And then next hole, par three, I go off first and I hit it in the dirt. But even there, like, I had a perfect lie in the dirt. It really worked out great. And I got into the green, made bogey. Ended up making bogey on the next hole as well. But then had some really nice, some nice birdies. I made a nice comeback birdie on, I think, hole seven, which was awesome. And again, throughout the week, I putted. My putting was my best stat. I was 32nd strokes gained putting. I think I gained two strokes, which really, I didn't make any long putts. I just ended up, as you'll see here, just scrambling pretty well. I could have shot so high, but my putting and scrambling kept me in it. So, yeah, example, hole eight is 200. It's like 210-yard par three, and I just hit it 50 yards left. They had to move the ropes for me. And then I got it up and down, like, just so awesome. So it was so fun there. Ended up making, unfortunately, a bogey on nine, the par five. But go through the back, just battle, kind of give away a couple. I had a spicy three putt on hole 10 where I just kind of left it short in the hard. That was one where it's like I hit it right on line. It was going downhill. I just kind of eased it. But again, another cool moment on the day is on hole 15. The same thing, they have the grandstands behind. It's drivable, essentially drivable par four. And everyone's hitting like 3 wood onto the green. I hit cut driver just short, chip it up there. I've got this maybe 12-foot putt. Again, I'm kind of, you know, there's people around, but I feel comfortable. Again, I could not have been better mentally. Unfortunately, just execution-wise was the only thing lacking, which I love. Like, that was the only thing lacking, so I can work on that. But I hit this putt, it goes in, grandstands go nuts, everyone's going nuts. Again, it's one of my favorite videos. Again, I've got so many great videos from the week. My brother, my mom, Aaron, Cole, other people shot all these incredible videos that I will just always watch and always cherish. And then the same thing there, everyone's cheering. I like start to get choked up. Like, this is just insane. So I'll birdie 15. Again, just some of the highlights. 16, I end up driving it in the rough. That's kind of one that you can get, unfortunately. I drove it in the rough both days. Punched out. And then I really hit two great shots on that hole. Unfortunately, I didn't birdie it either day. Hit a sick cut pitching wedge, a back right pin to like 8 or 9 feet. Then the second day, I hit an awesome shot in there. But I just kind of was tentative on those putts, which, again, they weren't easy putts. So essentially, the first day, 2 over par. Perfect conditions. Dietrich shot like nothing, 6 under. Bramlett, I think, we shot the same score, 2 over. He didn't putt well. So, great first day. Handled it great. It was just awesome. Again, do I wish I would have hit it better and been more prepared? Of course I do, but it's just, I'm not worried about it. It's just such a great day, such a great experience. So, we play on the second day. Same thing. We go off the back. Make a nice par to start. Hole 11. Let me think. I think I make another maybe nice par. Oh, yeah. End up hitting it a mile right. Oh, yeah. That's the shot from the bush. Again, this is kind of where my swing is at. Try to hit a cut. Hit this big push cut. Miles right. Just no one's over here. I'm in this bush. Same thing here, though. I'm in a bush. I can't really make a backswing, but I really... It's in this bush, but it's quite hittable. I'm like, wow, this is another pretty nice break in that sense. It could have really been buried. It could have been terrible. But it's like, okay, I can get 9-iron. I hit it out with 9-iron to about, I think, 60 yards to a back left pin. just do my past 9 o'clock little wedge, which again I know is gonna fly about 55 there, hit this six shot, and I get that up and down. Again, there's so many times it hits like 8 feet. Awesome up and down there. And then my favorite hole, I think it's hole 12, it's got water right, hit a fine drive. I've got like 180 to this back pin. Hit this awesome 8-iron. It lands perfectly, rolls back to, I think, 3 feet. Might have been one of the closest shots of the day. Inside left putt, I make it. Oh, I'm feeling great. Next hole, I have a good chance. Don't quite make birdie on the par 5. So again, just the birdies. If I was a little bit longer and hit a little bit better, you can really take advantage of these par 5s. That's what the guys do. It's kind of a, you can get the par 4, number 7, and then the par 5s, and then it's just driver wedge a bunch. So the rough was pretty thick though, so you had to hit it fine. But it is just a birdie fest for these guys because they're just so dialed. It's so impressive. They make it look so easy. And again, I feel like I'm pretty good at golf, you know, in general, but these guys are just this next level of power. They smash it. Again, they were hitting hybrids, 320 or so, just beautifully done. So yeah, I wish I could have taken advantage of the par 5. But then go to the next hole, left pin, I overdraw it a little bit, sick little bump into this hill, make a nice par there. So I'm one under, kind of cruising here. 15, I hit a nice drive. I just got a little tentative on my 9 o'clock wedge. I need to be a little bit more aggressive, make par there. Same thing next hole. So that was when I felt like, okay, you know, I could have played that a little bit better potentially. Next hole, same thing, hit it right, hit a nice punch out, have like 93 in, hit a sick draw, 60 to maybe 8 feet, but it's like downhill. I play it 2.5 cups out, so it's kind of a slider. Just got a little bit soft on it. So that was a bummer. Again, I felt like I kind of could have got a couple back. 17 hit a really nice, I think 7-iron from 180. Again, these G425 irons are just so solid. I just am in love with the clubs. They're so great. Nice little 2-putt. Again, the pin's just on a slope. I think I play it 8 feet right. I've got, I think, 30 feet, play it 8 feet right. It's uphill to the pin, runs away past it. Bramlett hold his bunker shot from the right bunker, which was awesome. Hit a nice 2-putt. 18, end up making bogey because I had a long bunker shot, and I just hit it and just rolled off the back and then got up and down from the next bunker. But then another good example is, so then we start on hole 1. I hit it just yard left, just in the rough, have to punch out sideways. Got like 152 into a back left pin, hit this dirty draw pitching wedge to, man, maybe 6 or 7 feet. And some of the cool thing is, like, so watching, if you're the second wave, it's kind of cool. I watched some of the coverage early, and I think I had a similar putt to what Cantlay had for birdie. So I kind of knew what the read was anyways, but it's cool. I saw him make it, and then I think I played it a cup and a half out. I make that par putt, right? So I get up and down from 152. And it's like, man, again, I just easily could have shot more. So I had some incredible saves, just kind of save after save. A little bit of the bummer then would be, again, we're the last group in, just down the stretch. I had a par putt, just 360 lip out, which was a bummer. And I would continue to make putt after putt. I was under a tree, got up and down. From the bush, I got up and down, just kind of getting up and down from everywhere. And then lip out that putt on hole, I want to say it was hole 4. Hole 5, the par 3, then I have this chip. I just thought it was more downhill than it was. Ended up just leaving it short. And then the putt lipped out there, like hit a really nice putt. So I'm hitting great putts. Again, Mike and myself really read the greens great. I think there's only one misread I had. But Michael did an incredible job. So could not ask for better caddy and all that. And then I think ended up making another bogey on 6, which was a tricky hole. Just, and again, at that point, straight into the sun. I had to like cut 8-iron just like long, and I had to like one hop it onto the green, and I just left it a hair short. Otherwise, I could have easily like chipped it and rolled off the green like 60 yards over. So again, just kind of touchy, tricky little shots that they just make look so routine. Ended up making a nice save on 7. Just hit it short right, just again kind of where my swing was at, just fanned it on the par 3, hit it to 12 feet. That was the one misread we had. And then ended up making hit two nice shots on 9 to finish. It's starting to get dark, so I wanted to chip it. I tried to get aggressive and didn't have a great read on what it did. Just hit it too far, hit it over the green, but then got up and done for par. So four over, two over, four over. Again, I felt like I could have unfortunately shot 20 over, but just scrambled so well, battled so well mentally, could not have been better. So that was the play. And then what ended up happening is, again, you get treated like an absolute king. So I think the following day we stayed, we could still eat. I could still practice a little bit, just had fun with that, enjoying the players, enjoying the coaches. Again, I saw so many awesome coaches out there. Mark Blackburn, Phil Kenyon, saw again, Sean Foley was so great to see, David Woods, Jeff Smith, Joseph Mayo, all the players were so nice to me. Again, I'll mention some more in the part two here. But again, even for me, I went up to the players. I'm like, hey, I'm Derek Dominski, a teaching pro. I qualified for the event. It's my first event. And they were so nice. Like, they're very supportive. They're really great dudes. You could tell they're in business mode, but there's so many quality people out there from top to bottom. So that was the week. Again, it was the greatest week of my life. What a thrill. I'm very motivated. It's so motivating to be out there with these guys. It was so good to make so many great connections. And again, very motivated to improve my swing, put in the work so that if this opportunity happens again, which I hope it will, I'm just more prepared for it. But I do feel like it everything, you know, happened for a reason. So glad I putted great. So glad that the family and so many friends and family could be out there. And it was just a celebration. So I had the absolute best time. Again, wouldn't change anything. Just so happy with how it went overall. Thanks so much for tuning in to this special episode of the Golf Better Podcast. Again, it's so fun to relive this week when I was out there. It was such a whirlwind. And again, I'm trying to take it all in, yet try to stay in the moment, trying to, again, do my breathing meditation to really calm myself down and be able to hit the best shots possible. So I'll answer more questions in part two. Again, thank you so much. You guys are always the best. I cannot thank you guys enough. The messages from everyone were so positive. You guys are the absolute best. It really makes me feel good. And it was interesting because I was, you know, contemplating like shutting off my phone, going into dark mode and all that. And, you know, I just was very comfortable just doing what I do, responding as I could. Again, I got so many messages. And again, they're just so positive. So I can't thank you guys enough. I have the best followers and friends. So stay tuned for part two, where I answer your questions on the week.